learn. We're going to start. We're learning. We're starting a new Simson Pehei. Simson Pehei is the laws of a delay of a Shabbos. Now, there's a lot of Musa. There's a lot of Musa in the some of the halachas. I'll even tell you an interesting story about Glineder, about some Musa you can learn from the halacha in this sif. Okay, Simson Pehei. It's on page Kuf. It's on the first page. Okay, on the front page. Im chas v'shalom nafla delay of a Shabbos. Choshur abaseinu zochen levracha. If the Chashul is a fire on Shabbos, the Rabbanim were concerned. They were concerned that if they would be permitted to be Oisek, they were concerned that if they would be permitted to go and take things from the home, from where they are located, into the courtyard, being that they are in a state of haste, they are confused in their state of haste, they may forget that today is Shabbos, they'll put out the fire. So first he starts to tell us that Chazal were concerned that if chas v'shalom there is a fire, a person forgets that today is Shabbos. A person's mind plays tricks on him. He is in a state of fear, a state of confusion, and he can very easily come to forget that today is Shabbos. Therefore, that is a very big chiddush to many people to hear such a thing. Therefore, al kein osru lahatzla filu chafetzim shemutarim b'tiltul l'mokom shemutarim l'hoitzi. It is also to transfer objects from the bayis to the chotzer. Now, let me make one thing clear. The Mishnah Berurah says this. There's no question that Chashul is a fire. First of all, before we even begin, I want to make it very clear that Bizman Hazed, the Mishnah Berurah even says this. The Mishnah Berurah says this in his time, Allah has come to come in our time, that if there's a fire, you can basically do anything you want. You can call the fire department, you can put out the fire, because in the Mishnah Berurah, then in his time, in Europe, in Radin, if there's a Sreifa, very easily can the fire travel. And there are elderly people, and there are children, and they can escape the fire. And before you can blink, they can be mamish, rachman al-stan, they can be bikuach nefesh. That's what Chavetz Chaim said in his time. Allah has come in our day and age where you're dealing with gas pipes, and you're dealing with gasoline, and you're dealing with electrical fires. Technology has made it where things can happen. Smoke can be produced today through electrical fires in a way that can never have been produced years ago. The sakanas today are infinitely greater than they were years ago.
And
so
population
density is much greater than it ever was before, and therefore you may want to be machmir for yourself, but you have no right to be machmir even in the mashu for your next door neighbor or anyone else in the community. So therefore, it goes without saying that if zman hazef is any chash of fire, instantly you're supposed to be mechuyev to call the fire department. If you can, you take out a fire extinguisher, do it, you pass it within the realm of safety to put out the fire. That is a davar pashut ad ma'od. However, we're talking about the Talmud Chazal. Talmud Chazal, a fire, it appears, the danger was limited. The danger, what the fire can possibly do, is not all that great. So the only question is, you're going to lose your money, you're going to lose food, you're going to lose your property. So you're not allowed to put out a fire chitzchil Shabbos. You're not allowed to put out a fire on Shabbos, even if you're going to lose every penny that you have, because it's chil Shabbos. So what are you allowed to do? The best thing is, you can indirectly put out the fire. You can pour water on the perimeter of your property, so when the fire gets that area, the fire will go down on its own. If you have food inside your house, or your property, you can take the property from one room to another room. Now, if you are within the same house, l'chatchila, you can take every single thing from one room to another room. But what about taking everything in your room from your house into the courtyard? Now, a courtyard is a different rishus, but it's part of one big rishus ayachid, and maker adin, you are permitted to go from one rishus ayachid to another rishus ayachid, especially if you have an eruv chatzeros. We have an eruv chatzeros. I can go from my bais to the courtyard, and the courtyard is shared by a group of apartments. We can go from one, and we have an eruv chatzeros, you're allowed. Yet, in this instance, Chazal said you're not allowed to go from the bais to the chotzer, because if you're going to go back and forth from your house to outdoors, from the bayis to the chutz, from the chutz to the bayis, you will very quickly come to forget that today is Shabbos, you will see the fire, and you will extinguish the fire. So it is also to take out from the bayis to the chutzer more than what you need for your three Shabbos meals. Again, but in the same house itself, if there is a fire in one room, and you want to take everything from one room into another room, l'chatchila, you're allowed to take every single allowed to take 100 meals, enough food for a lifetime, from one room to another room, because you're not leaving the bayis. The prohibition here is going from the bayis to the chotzer, even though the bayis is a rishis yachid, and the chotzer is a rishis yachid. And under normal circumstances, you're allowed to go from bayis to the chotzer, but only in this instance where there's a fire and you're going to be confused and you may come to put out the fire, you're not allowed to go from one room to another room. Interesting, someone told me not long ago that they were home on Shabbos and the smoke detector went off. Okay, we're talking about a Haredi family. The smoke detector went off and they looked around and they didn't see anything. They didn't smell anything, they didn't see anything, and they called the fire department. They called the fire department, so they asked the Rav, did they do the wrong thing? And the fire department came, they looked around, and they couldn't really figure out why it was a good smoke detector. It was a new smoke detector, and they couldn't really know it wasn't the carbon. They have the indicator of the carbon monoxide, and they have the smoke, and they couldn't. The fire department really couldn't figure out. They figured maybe it's a defective smoke detector. They couldn't really figure out. So the person, he asked the Rav, did I do the wrong thing? I got nervous. The smoke detector went off. I looked around. I looked in the basement. There's no smell. It wasn't carbon monoxide. It was smoke. It was not the carbon monoxide. It was the smoke. Everything looked okay. I didn't see any fire. I didn't smell anything. But I got scared. Who knows? Maybe the smoke detector is super sensitive. It detects something that I'm not capable of detecting. And I called the fire department. They came. They looked around. Everything was okay. Did I do the wrong thing? Did I overreact? And he told me the rest, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You're right. Your instincts are right. You don't know that the smoke detectors are very advanced. They have all different. They can detect things that you cannot necessarily detect. And if the smoke detector goes off and you're nervous, that's right. You have an obligation on Shabbos.
Not
what?
Than the bugs in the water.
What do you mean I was in the bugs in the water? My in Shemita Eitel HaSinai. What are you talking about?
Put out the fire.
So it's very, it just goes to show that this Mishnah Brura, how far it goes, that here we're learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, there's a fire, not so fast. Don't be Mechal Shabbos. Let the whole house burn down.
Okay.
And the whole house, not the whole house. Of course, that's what the Mishnah Brura says. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah Brura says. But here it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's a quote from Shulchan Aruch, so let the house burn down. It's Shabbos. You're not going to put out a fire. Oh, so you want to go take the food from the bayis to the chotzer? And under normal circumstances, there's no restriction. You can take whatever you want. Not so fast. Here, you're not allowed to take more than 3 meals because you may come to put out the fire. And here, we're living in a generation where the halacha has changed to such a degree where even a person got a little bit nervous because the fire detector, the smoke detector went off and he asked her off. I called the fire department and there was a whole spectacle on my block. The whole fire department came down to look at my house. Did I do the wrong thing? And the Rav says, absolutely not. That's what you're mechuyev to do. If something is possibly wrong, is Sakani supposed to call? It's very interesting how over time, in the example where the halacha changes, adjusts to the circumstance.
Case, okay. If the chetzah wasn't shared, it was your own chetzah, your own backyard.
Yeah.
Would you be allowed to take all your stuff in there?
No. That's exactly what it says. So you're not allowed. Going from a bayis to a chotzer. A chotzer is a different rishos hayachid. In the same bayis, in the same walls, even in this room to room, Mishmur says, from room to room is mutter, because you're still inside the bayis. But going from a bayis to outdoors does not have a roof. It does not have a roof, so it's a rishos hayachid, but it's a different type of rishos hayachid. It's called a chotzer. Any area that does not have a roof
even
is called a chotzer. Even if it's not shared chotzer, let's say it's a shared chotzer and you have an eruv chatzeros, you're not allowed to go from bayis to the chotzer when there's a fire to take travel with more than 3 meals because in your state of haste and confusion, you may come to extinguish the fire. And that is an Isser D'Oraisa, Kibbutz. No, that's the end of the Simon, that's the exception. There are many exceptions. Let's go further.
And I know it happened. It's like a Hill of David.
You're allowed. You're allowed even to take it out even to a Carmelist in the place that you're not allowed to carry out. That we're going to have. When it comes to Sifrei Torah, you're allowed to take out Sifrei Torah even to a place that you normally are not allowed to carry. A very big chiddush.
Is the backyard a chotzer?
Yes, the backyard is a chotzer. Yes, it is. Any place that does not have a roof is called a chotzer. The rak mas that goes through the halacha, rak mas shahu tzarch lo lahayom, mutl lo lahatzel, only what you need for today you're allowed to Let's go back. Skip the line. Yishkechu shayom Shabbos v'yichbu es hadleika al kein v'yifur asur l'hatz l'afilu l'chafetz m'shem mutar m'tiltu l'makum shabutim l'hatzi. You're not allowed to carry things which are not muksa. We're not dealing with muksa. And we're not dealing with going to a place that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. It's us. V'rak mashu tzarech lo l'hayoyim mutar lo l'hatzel. Kate said, for example, naf l'dleika b'lel Shabbos koidem hasud. It's Friday night before you eat your Friday night meal. Matzil, you're allowed to carry from the bayis to the chatzer. Mazon shalosh su'udos, three meals. Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shabbos afternoon. Haroi l'adam, you can carry what you need for yourself. L'adam, haroi l'behema l'behema. You have a pet. Whatever the pet needs for the entire day, you can carry to the chatzar. Uveshachris, let's say you have already eaten your Friday night meal, and now there's a fire, so you only need to be concerned for the Shabbos day meal and the Shabbos afternoon meal. So uveshachris, mazon shtei sudas, uvemincha, mazon suda achas. V'yim yesh b'chli achas, here is the exception. Let's say you have one utensil, you're filling up a plate, and on the plate there's enough room, even though you can put three meals, but the plate can accommodate 10 meals. So since it's only going to be one act of carrying, you're allowed to put on the plate, on the utensil, even more than what you actually need. V'yim yesh b'chli achas macholim harbeif. On the utensil there is many macholim. Kugoyin tzal, a basket, molni kikaros, v'chavis molni yayin, chodoyme. Kevon shayitzio b'pamachas, in one shot, mut, then you can carry more than three meals. V'cheinim perash sadin l'chodoyme. If you spread a sheet, you want to go fill up food in one sheet. V'kavat spa kol mash yochol hoitzim b'macholim b'mashkos. And you want to fill up in the sheet multiple, a lot of food and drinks. Period. Not only can you take out food, you can take out cutlery. Cutlery also can be taken out. Whatever you need for your Shabbos meals can be taken out from the bayis into the chatzer, but not more than that. Okay, let's see the shemesh from halacha on the bottom. Matzil mazon the gimel sudos ayin bevishne bura the ber halacha shevi beprim begodim shemesh nistabik iyachol abalabayis lahatzil gimel sudos bead kol lechad yachad bebeireso. What about can the balabayis take out? Let's say he has five children. Can he go back and forth five times and take out mazon gimel sudos for each member of his family, or do we require each member of the family to take it out by themselves? So this is a suffix. And he passes that it's mutter, and it's no worse than taking out for your animals. Just like you're allowed to take out for the animals, so too your children in the Levites are no worse. You can go into the house multiple times and take out Muslim gimel sudos for each member of the family. What? They can't get it themselves. Okay, so that's why he has a suffix in Echanami. That's why he has a suffix. But maybe he... Okay, in Echanami, I don't know the details. But he passes that it's mutter. V'yayin b'taysef ha-shabbos, sham d'mashkin yochel ha-hatzel l'tzoch ha-layom, d'kol ha-yom roi l'shtia. You can take out for drinking water, or anything you need to drink, that's mutter. V'mokom shein shoysin yayin ein l'hatzel rak l'tzoch yom l'tzudos. But when it comes to wine, if you don't drink wine during the day, you only can take out for three sudos. Okay, back to halacha base. Why? I think it means whatever you need. You need for Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shalosh Shuras. Shalosh Shuras. Many people, they do a bar prayer gof. But you ever go to Chassidus Shalosh Shuras? They make a bar before they say the Zmirois. They make a bar prayer gofen.
Yes.
They do. It's like a kiddush almost. Right, I've seen that.
Bezman Hazeh, can you take things out of the house? You can put out the fire, but can you take things out of the house?
Oh, Bezman Hazeh, l'chayra not. You're making a very good point. Bezman Hazeh, let's say you call the fire department. You're making a very good point. You call the fire department. So there's nothing more for me to do. Okay. The fire department's on the way. In the meantime, I see they're not going to make it around time. I don't have a fire extinguisher. I need the professionals to do it. In the meantime, let me at least save what I can. So you're making a good point. I don't know the answer, but l'chor or not. L'chor, you can't take out more than Muslim gimel sudos. You're making a very good point, because when the process of taking it out, you may come to put out the fire. If you can put out the fire, you should put out the fire, l'chor. That's the problem. That's the problem. But if you can put out the fire, bizman hazeh, you should put out the fire. So what are you busy taking out food when you should be doing something more important? It's a very weird hechatimsa. The whole question that you're asking is a very strange type of question, because here, I call the fire department.
Right.
They're going to come. In the meantime, let me go and take out my couch. I have a very expensive couch. I don't want the couch to get ruined.
Because it's too dangerous for you to do it.
I don't want to take out this. I'll take out the couch. So what's the reason why you now will take out a couch? Is because in the process of taking out the couch, you may yourself come to put out the fire. in this instance, in our day and age, if you could put out the fire, you should be putting out the fire. So if you have the frame, you're in the frame of mind to take out my couch, because I can't take it because I made it out of the fire. If you can put out the fire, put out the fire. You'll save someone's life, or you'll save potential danger. So it's, the question is not really a very practical question. You understand what I'm saying? In the time of Chazal, you had the ability, you were equipped to take out, to put out the fire. You could very, if the Torah did not allow you to put out a fire, in one moment the fire would have been out. The Torah says, Chazal say, don't put out the fire, let the house burn down. It's Chil Shabbos. We have no right to be Mechal Shabbos to save a few dollars. Okay, so at least let me save a few dollars. Let me save my couch. Let me save some food. Chazal say, no, if we're going to let you save your couch, in the process, you'll come to put out the fire. So don't save your couch and let the house burn down. The only thing we'll let you save is what you need for the rest of Shabbos. You need three meals. You need some cutlery. You need some a chair and a table to sit down and have a meal. That you can take out, but nothing more than that. Because if we let you take out more than that, you'll come to put out a fire. Today, if you have the ability to put out the fire, put out the fire. Go for it. Take out the fire extinguisher and put out the fire. Because we live in a different society.
Yeah, the cases where it's too dangerous or whatever, you can't put out the fire.
So then it would appear, I don't know the halach, but it would appear that then you are allowed to take out whatever you want, because anyway you're not going to put out the fire. Yeah. They may say that you're a fool, you're putting yourself in sakana to save yourself in a moment of danger. I don't know the answer. That's problematic. So you should be putting out a local fire. If today's day and age, if there is any type of fire, everyone says you should put out the fire without any hesitation. A small fire, no matter how small the fire is, it can easily become a hazard. Anything should be put out. So of course you should put it out.
Are you going to differentiate between America and Israel?
No, why should there be a difference?
Because in America, everything is based on a wood system. In Israel, everything is cement. So if you have a fire in a house, in an apartment, it doesn't affect the...
Smoke. You don't know, even though it's cement, there's the electricity. Electrical fires can cause more than some smoke.
It,
what?
It still doesn't...
It can cause smoke. Electrical fires don't need oxygen.
Smoke, right.
It can produce, and the smoke is more dangerous than the fire itself.
It's a very interesting thing because 25 years ago, most deaths and fire were because of inhalation of smoke. Telephone wires.
Smoke.
Because the telephone wires melted and they gave out all kinds of...
Toxic gas.
So same thing today.
You don't have that.
You do have that today. You certainly have that today. What?
Try it.
There have been fires.
I have a telephone.
When was your house built?
There are fires that no one imagines.
I had
I'll give you
I have old telephone wires. I still put dimes in my phone.
Look, one year ago, in Chaim Berlin, there's no wood. The entire building from top to bottom is concrete. No, 20 years ago, there was a fire in Chaim Berlin. The Abacha was nifter.
Yes, I remember.
That shook up the yeshiva. It shook up everyone. And everything they ever built since then is like 100% fireproof. It left and the people that were involved, they're shaken up. Anayom Azeh. Everything they built in Chaim Berlin is 100% fireproof. So last year, there was an electrical fire in Chaim Berlin in the dormitory. It caused $100,000 worth of damage. And you ask, how in the world could it possibly happen? There's nothing there in the building that can possibly burn. Nothing. It was an electrical fire. It caused smoke, and really an intense...
Smoke is dangerous.
Exactly. It's more dangerous. Smoke is more dangerous, and with all the safety features and all everything you can possibly imagine has been installed, it doesn't matter, it still happened, and still was a very great sakana, and it caused a lot of damage, and it was a miracle that no one was hurt. There was one person that was taken to the hospital, but it was a miracle that nothing worse happened. So in Eretz Yisrael, there's certainly no worse than all the modern buildings in America. I mean, they build everything, they still build out of wood, but
smoke.
But there is still smoke, electrical fire. fires are more dangerous than the traditional fires. And the goal of that was saying that today, all the Rabbanim advise that if Chashon is a fire, there's no person should not hesitate for one moment to put out the fire. These halachas do not apply. These are just theoretical concepts which we learn from. Now here comes the next yeah. A hefsid meruba play any role in going to a chatzar? So at the very end of this siman, he talks about it. He mentions it in passing, what's called, he talks about it. Okay, we'll come to it soon. We'll come to it at the very end. Let's say halacha beis. Halacha beis tells us a trick. But there's a moral lesson in this trick, in what it says here, that is true for all areas of Shulchan Aruch. The oimer la'acher, what a person can do, a person here is in a situation, Tamei Chazal, where there's a fire. And Chazal have told him, listen, too bad, let the house burn down. Big deal, so the house burns down. So you lose your life savings. It's not an excuse to be Mechal Shabbos. The best you can do is take out three meals for what you need for Shabbos. And you can take maybe for your family as well. But let's say you have in the house a lot of food. What you can do is you can go to shul and you can make an announcement. Free food. Go to shul, give a clap on the bima, free food. Anyone who wants free food, come to my house. You can take whatever you want, take for Shabbos. Three meals.
Well done.
And in the chatzah, there are beautiful picnic tables. I have a beautiful backyard. I put up a tent before Shabbos, before we made the burei, before I made the burei ma'orei ho'esh. You know, I put up a tent outside for everyone to come and enjoy, come and take free food. So you make an announcement. What? Come and save for yourselves. Everyone can come and they can look inside the refrigerator and they can see, spare ribs and this and that, all these delicacies, salmon and all the exotic foods they start taking outside. Each thing costs hundreds of dollars. And everyone starts taking out the expensive china out into the chotzeh. Whoever takes, we finders keepers. Whoever takes gets the key maker adin. Why came in Shabbal Habayis Hifker Bubal Bayis was Mafker, everything that was in possession of Zocha Zem in the Hefker, and it was Zechem the Hefker. Okay, now comes something which is an amazing statement of Shulchan Aruch. It's a quotation from what it says in Shulchan Aruch. V'yim u'yoy shemayim. But if these people, these individuals, are coming to this person's home to take free food, they realize the reason why they have been invited to take free food and free kelim is because anyway it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. And the person just telling them to come take it for themselves in order to save it, if they are yoy shemayim, u'machsil bal habayi, u'machsir, Lubalabayis, Masha Hitzel, Kevon Shiodea Shloi Hifke Biritsoinoi, and they know, and then they're generous when Shabbos is over. They return to the Balabayis what they took for themselves. Mutu Loi Lokachas Schar Hatzolo, you're allowed to take money for their efforts. I have saved you $1,000 worth of food or of utensils. Therefore, you can be so kind at least to pay me for my trouble $50. You are allowed to charge the Baal Habayis $50 for your efforts in saving him a very great loss. Because me'ikar hadin, if you want, you can keep the $1,000 for yourself. Because the Baal Habayis was mafkir, the Baal Habayis was on his own, not allowed to take these things for himself. If he was the only one available, then he would only be allowed to take three meals. Everything would have been destroyed. He made an announcement and said, listen, it's anyway going to be destroyed, so you might as well come and take it. They came and took it, but they know the only reason why he was mafka was because he had no choice. So you're taking advantage of a person's misfortune. That's not a very nice thing to do. And if you're a Yorei Shemayim, you're going to give it back. But just because you're going to give it back does not mean that you have to be a tzaddik to do it for free. If I went and spent time and effort to travel from where I was on Shabbos to disturb my Simcha Shabbos in order to come and assist and to take away, and now I'm going to give back to you for free, I'm entitled for some compensation. The Ein Zos Schar Shabbos, this is not a violation of taking money for working on Shabbos. Kevan Shemitzad Hadin HaKol Husho, because Mikra Hadin, I'm not working for you. For Mikra Hadin, I'm working for myself. Mikra Hadin, I can keep everything for myself. Umikol Malkam, now he goes on to say, it's a Midas Chasidus. Umidas Chasidus Shaloi Litol Schar Al Toiva Al Torah Chatzolah Shabbos Shabbos. It's the Midas Chasidus, not take money even for the trouble. It's a midas chasidus that when Shabbos is over, to return everything back to the balabais and say it's yours, I took it myself, but I'm giving it back to you now for free. Even though it's not Shabbos, ki achosid yesh levate mishaloi mikol davar sheyesh loy nid nud avera, a chosid should give up from what's his own. In any instance, where there's even the smallest fraction of an avera, you should be generous. So what he has presented over here is three different madregas. Meikar hadin, yore, the madrega of a yore shamayim, and the madrega of a chosid. Three different madregas. Meikar hadin, you can keep it for yourself. If the food and the utensils you have taken to $1,000, it's good for you, you can keep it. If you want to be a yore shamayim, give it back. But you can charge him a few dollars for your time and effort. If you want to be a chosid, you give it back to him for free. I'll tell you, Maisa Shahoya, there was a person he had in his possession, he was Shamus. And he cleaned out a lot of Shamus. And he went through all the Svarm to determine if it has any value. And he learned to the Svarm, and he called up a professional to take away all of the Svarm. The professional takes all the Svarm. Time goes by, a month goes by, 2 months go by. One day he gets a phone call and he says, "Do you know, I went online and I saw there's an auction taking place, and there's a certain, there's a sefer, and the sefer was inscribed by one of the Gedolei Hadar to your parents. And right now there's an auction taking place. There are two people that are bidding, and it's already almost up to $500. Are you aware of this?" So the person says, "What? How in the world did they get that sefer? It must be," he thinks very quickly, "must be that by mistake he didn't realize that in the collection of some that he gave away to Shamus, there was this sefer had an inscription from this person to his family. He didn't realize it was an oversight. It went into the Shamus collection. The Shamus person took it away, and then it was put out probably on the table, and some collector went through it and he took note of the inscription, and he took it and he put it up for auction. So it was hefker bitos. It was a hefker that was done by mistake. The person was not aware of the value of the sefer, was not aware that it was an inscription in the sefer. So he calls up the auction house and he says, you know, it's mine." So they say to him, "Sorry, buddy, this happens all the time. That's our business. Our business is we go through the garbage and we find things of value and we put it up for auction, and then we always get a call from the owner that it was a mistake. You gave it away. The only time we make an exception is if you present us with a police report that it was stolen. Then we will stop the auction and we will return it. Anything without an official or police report that it was stolen, we cannot help you." So this person then went to a din Torah. He didn't go to an official din Torah. He went to a dayan. He went to a very big Talmud Chacham who's very, and he asked him, "What is the halacha?" And the dayan said, "It's a very tough question. He doesn't really have a good answer. It's a very tough question." And he says it's called Hefker Betos. It's Hefker Betos. And it relates very much to this simen in Shulchan Aruch. The simen in Shulchan Aruch, and all you have to analyze this very carefully and try to adapt it to your situation. There's a fire. Everything is going to be destroyed. And you make an announcement, it's a free-for-all. And someone comes, in other words, you mafker it. Why you mafker it? Coercion. You have no choice but to be mafker it. It's not, I don't have a choice. There's a fire.
You have to say it.
What?
You could have let it burn without telling people.
So that's why you have to play around. It's not a perfect example. It's not this, so you're being coerced. This is coercion. In the case here, it was a toss. So it's not exactly the same thing. But the principles are similar. That's why it's not clear cut. That's what he told me. It's not clear cut. The story, all the details. Here it was, you're coerced to be mafka. Someone comes along and takes it. The ball is in their court. If they want to be a Yarei Shemayim, they should return it, but you should pay them. You can't give it, you can't expect them that they should give it back to you for free. you know, there was an auction. The person who the auction house is making money on it. The person who purchased it, who's bidding on it, wants it. He's entitled money for his efforts. He wanted to buy it. He had a good deal. He was about to close it on a good deal. They are entitled to some degree of compensation for their time and effort. They're not entitled to the full value, midin yari shemayim. The auction house was going to make out of this, was going to make $500 minus the time and effort they have to go through all the shamus to pick up these things. So that's also effort. So you pay them for their time, plus give them a little bonus. And then the person who thought he had a good deal going for him, he spent time monitoring the auction. It's also is entitled to some compensation. But midin yorei shamayim, they do have an obligation to give it back to the original owner, but they should be compensated to some degree. They want to be chassidim. You can't demand from someone to be a chassid. And you can't even demand from a person to be a yorei shamayim either. Me'ikar hadin, that's it. You put it out in Sheamus. You were not careful enough. You lost it. It's too bad for you. Me'ikar hadin, it's not impossible. You might find the bezdin that will make a pshara. You know, batei dinim are famous for pshara. Everything, you go to a bezdin, off the bat, it's pshara. You know, off the bat, it's going to be, they're going to make out some type of dispute resolution. Which, now, it doesn't mean 50-50. Chas v'shalom, 50-50. It means...
You owe me $100.
No. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. The way it's supposed to work is you look at what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You work what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and that's the baseline. In Shulchan Aruch, it says, Yechayev. So that means that you're starting out 100-0. We'll make up Shara, we'll go 90-10. And in Shulchan Aruch, it says 75-25. So then the Pshar will be, you know, the baseline is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And then starting when it says Shulchan Aruch, that's where the Pshar is going. When it's not clear in Shulchan Aruch, so you're starting with a different baseline. But that is a very common case. It's not so uncommon. People give away Sheamus and these type of things happen. And then there's a dispute. I never meant to give it. Had I known the value, it would have been so valuable. It's an antique. This and that. You know, you go look at the Shulchan Aruch. Yorei Shamayim, Midas Chassidus.
Sell something to someone.
You don't know what it's really worth.
And they both agree, you know, even the buyer doesn't realize, and he finds out like the next day that someone said it's really worth much more than that. You have to go back and tell them.
So there are many variations of this case. What there are many, many variations. That's true. But when you're buying and selling something, you generally don't say that. You're selling an object. You know what you're selling. If you want, you can go check out what it's really worth. Every situation is different. This is a situation where it was a toss. It was a clear mistake. And the mistake, see, there's more to it. It's not just a mistake. The person, the inscription was not on the front page. The inscription was not, it could have been, it wasn't even on, it wasn't in the regular place where the inscription was would normally was written. It was written, in a place where they didn't check, where you typically don't check. When it was, when the family went through the Sarm, they went through the Sefer, they opened it up, and they looked in the first page or two, the normal places. Lo and behold, where was it? It was on the next page. So it was a real toss. It wasn't like just sloppy. Just come to clean out the hole. Every single case has to be judged differently. There are many variations. But yet, a lot of this stuff is rooted right here in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah.
I have two comments. One is, we see from here that if someone got into a shul, say, the house is burning, everyone could have, that you shouldn't say, okay, let other people go, I'm going to continue sitting and doing what I'm doing.
Of course not.
You're thinking of see this even, to go and help the guy, even though you're not going to get anything out of it.
Of course, of course.
And the two is, if you have a case where you're in a lost situation, someone comes and helps you, for example, let's say you're stuck in the highway and a chevret drops by, and they help you, if the guy doesn't want money, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't give him something.
Of course, of course.
So, you know,
of course. Someone told me an interesting shayla. This is a very big hakir. We learned last week on Midas Sedom. Friday night, someone told me he went to a shir here from a shir. Why you... Someone who was a student of my father, very close to my father, Daniel Feldman. I don't remember if it was a D. I always confuse those names. Feldman with a D or Feldman without a D. He's a Ram. I think he's a Rav. And I think he's also a Magister in YU. I'm not sure exactly. He wrote a few books on business ethics. So here's a Shiloh of Koifin al Midas Sidom. The person is going somewhere. You're going from Borough Park to Flatbush, and and he gives, someone gives you a ride. So can the person who is the driver charge you for the ride? Anyway, Gesundheit. Anyway, I'm going there. I'm going from Flatbush to Borough Park, and I'm taking you in my car. And now when we come to Borough Park, you say to him, that will be $10, please. So the halacha is, kaif nal midastam, zenin zeloi chaser, you're anyway going, and I was in the car with you, you make the case even better, whatever the situation is, but you're anyway going, and I didn't cause you any discomfort, I didn't cause you any loss of money, the gasoline is the same, Koifin Almidas Stom, you're not allowed to charge. You're not allowed to charge. Here's a shaila. Let's say the passenger insists, I want to give you $10. You did me a service. Even though it's Zenene, Vizele Chosar, I have derived benefit and you did not lose anything, but I still want to give you the $10 because of being Zenene. Is the person, the driver, still allowed to accept the $10? Some want to learn that Koifin Almidas Sidom goes so far that the driver is not allowed to take the $10. Even if the passenger wants to give it, b'matana gemura, I want to give it as a payment for this service. The driver still, because if the driver would take the money, that would be midastom. Oh, but you would say, but midastom is only when you demand. I demand, I'm tevea. For the driver to say to the passenger, I demand you give me $10, I provided you a service. So then the passenger can say, midastom, zenene vezele chosar. You were anyway doing this. It was no loss to you, and I derived benefit. You have no right to demand. That's midastom. But if the passenger wants to say, listen, you did me a service, I want to give you the $10 for the service, for the driver to take the $10, he would be violating midastom according to some opinions. Because it was zele chosar. So for me to take, even though I'm not demanding. I'm just taking out of your own goodwill. It's also a getter. So that ties in over here to what you said over here before, is how far you have to go, be makbid on midas stom, when someone else has it tzara. Yeah.
The guy said, I would have paid the car service $20, so therefore I insist that you...
It doesn't matter. Right now, it doesn't matter.
You saved me $10.
It doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter.
You go into the car, you tell the guy, I'm only going if I give you $10 when I...
It's also a thing. That's also a not so posh.
He goes in. He says, "I don't want to go in."
Same. It doesn't matter.
It's the same. It's the same thing. So you want to give? This is very. It's very. You have to very delicate luck. You have to think. What are you giving the money for? I'm going to give you a present. Okay, you give a person a present. I'm giving it to you for the service. See, you have to be very careful how you phrase it. How you define the money. You can give a person a gift. You're a nice guy. I want to give you a present. I'll bring you a beautiful shulchan aruch. I'm going to go and I'm bring you a bottle of wine when I come to your house next time. You can give a person gifts because you like the person. They're kind to you. But here, no. This is business. I'm not your friend. I don't get along with you. I don't sit next to you in shul.
No.
I don't like you. We have different hashkafas. You're from Borough Park. I'm from Flatbush. You use the Arif. I don't use the Arif. There's no way in the world our children will... There's no way in the world we're ever going to be mashadich with each other. No way in a million years. So, but listen... You provided a service. I don't like to be a schnara. So I want to pay you for the service. So the person. So here's $10 for the service. For the person now to take the $10, it's a shayla of midas stone. Because listen, zelay chosar. You and Nana, good you and Nana. That's your problem, you and Nana. It's your problem, you and Nana, from a Borough Park person. It's your problem. But for me to take the $10, I'm violating, from my principles, midas stom. I don't want to be cursed, midas stom. Okay.
So
if they're good friends, and I want to give you a present, I love you, maybe I'll sweeten you up, your daughter will go out with my son, and vice versa. So that's a present. That's not a business transaction. You have to look at the relationship between the two people.
Are you allowed to run a business transaction? Well, let's say somebody asks you for a ride, you know what, and also Zen had a lesson.
That's a Russia.
You don't want to give them a ride.
There's a reason you don't like, you don't want to get into conversation with him. Right? You don't like, he didn't put on deodorant today. He didn't put on deodorant.
You don't.
Listen, every case is different. I don't know. Listen,
you don't
every case.
On the car.
Yeah. There's leisikon, leisitar. There are multiple violations. Leisikon, leisitar. We don't like the person. We have a grudge against the person. You're scared of. You don't know the person. Look, today we live in a very dangerous world. Okay, you're driving down. This happened to me. That's when I'm driving down 12 o'clock at night. Here in a safe neighborhood on 20 in Bedford Avenue. I'm at a red light. A guy comes 11:30 at night. He's banging on my window.
Is my
show? Yeah, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. A guy's banging on my window. It's, give me a ride. Keep going this way. I look at him. I don't know what to think. You know, he looks like a firm guy. Okay, he doesn't look like
sneakers?
What? was it you? I look at the guy. I don't know what to make of him. He looks okay, but like I look at him again.
It's a matter of trust.
Do I really know who he is? I don't recognize him. I don't recognize him. He looks a little bit disturbed. So I don't know. Should I let him into the car? Who knows? Let him to the car. Who knows what he'll do to me? So I decided just to ignore him.
Once he gets into the
car. So it just bothered me. Did I do the right thing? Midas Tom. You do the right thing. So it depends. You go and ask your mother, she'll say, for sure you did the right thing. Don't take strangers. You go and ask a Hasid, a Sherebbe, they'll say, oh, Midas Tom. You know, it depends on your personality. It depends on your life experience. Once you get burnt once, finish for life. You'll never do a chesed. You didn't have a bad experience. You didn't have a bad experience, so you didn't have a bad experience. You haven't been burnt yet. You're innocent. You're naive, so you do a chesed. Yeah.
If a woman was driving the car, they go.
What? It's very interesting. Okay, it's very interesting. It's a very good point. Okay. I know my grandmother wouldn't go. My grandmother, Allah Hashalom, would not. My mother said would not go in a car with a woman driver. Why? She personally did not trust. In those days, it was a novelty for a woman to drive a car. It was for anyone, like, you know, the men had the car, the shtadi men. A woman to drive a car. Women were first beginning to drive them. They just didn't trust them. She's like, what? To go in the car with a woman? How could a woman drive a car? She wouldn't go in a car with a woman driver. So, you know, everything depends on the times. All right, let's stop over here. We're up to Halacha Gimel. We'll leave it with this.